With me one more time. Dear God, I thank you for this opportunity to proclaim your word and your truth. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Pastor Sam has been sharing from 1 Corinthians over the past couple weeks, and this is the one Sunday a year that I always get to preach, Confirmation Sunday, and I kind of have the whole Bible to choose from, which is exciting. Want much to choose from, but I like to focus on the church and where it is that these confirmands and where it is that us as the entire church are in this time of receiving new members and what it is that we do to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. I found in Acts 11 a story or the telling of the church of Antioch, the early church, where the church is first called Christians at this point. And hear the word of the Lord. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I want to begin with a question. How many friends do you have? Maybe 3, 5, or 10. I guess it really depends on how you define friends. Well, I have my friends numbered. I know that I have 505 friends. I know that Pastor Sam has 266 friends. Pastor Brandy has 198, and Dwayne Condon has 451. How do I know this? Facebook, exactly. Now, of these 505 friends, some are as close as my wife and coworkers and family members. Some are as distant as people that I maybe lived with in the same dorm room in college or in the same hall in college. So this is a wide understanding of what a friend is. For those of you not familiar with Facebook, it's a website that's really a website community where you can go on and create your own page. You can upload pictures of yourself, a lot of information about yourself, things that you've been doing, your jobs, your school, and then some of the real important things about Facebook, like I'm giving my dog a bath, or I'm about to go to bed. And some people like to update their status to tell people what's going on. And sometimes there's important things on that status update, like I'm going to the hospital. And it's important to say what for and to find out some of these things as we care for one another. But the Facebook community in the virtual world of cyberspace is really where there's some connection. These are people that when I get birthday wishes, I actually know who they are because we went to school together maybe years ago. One of the neat things that's happened through Facebook, I've come to find one way or another almost all of the members of my first grade class when I was in first grade years ago. And it's only through Facebook that we've been able to track each other down, which is a great thing. So this community that develops is true. And there's some great friendships, and there's some that are, you know, marginal. That's a good way to put it. But that's what we look for in different ways. Either through the internet and Facebook, we look for community. We look for a place where we belong, where we have people that share different ideas, share different values, that we share something together. Maybe you're a member of the YMCA, and maybe you go to the YMCA, which are two different things I've learned. But it's where we go and work out and do different things. I've learned that in Darien alone, there are 8 different clubs that have high membership and high dues, from yacht clubs to golf clubs to social clubs, a place where people come together to do things. It gives them an identity. Some of our identity isn't so much from what we join, but who we root for. Red Sox fans Yankees fans, Giants fans, Cowboys fans, all we have our identity of who we are. And as we come from all these different identities together as the church of God at Noroten Presbyterian Church and the church of the whole world, the church around the world. One of the things that happened last night and happens every time we receive new members is we vote to receive new members. Kind of sounds scary. I don't want people to vote on me. But what we are voting on is to receive them. And if we read, we read throughout Scripture of the early church, they never had a church roster. They never had voting of new members. They didn't have a website or any of the things that we see as important. So what do we really have church membership for? There's some great things to being a member of a church that I'm going to get to as we go along. Now, some of the things that were pointed to of the church of Antioch is what brought them together. Stephen had been martyred sometime before. Stephen was stoned to death, and when he was dying, being stoned to death, he continued to pray and proclaim the power of the Holy Spirit in the process of his death. And so his death, his martyrdom, created a revival, there wasn't any re to it, vitality within the area of people proclaiming Jesus Christ. And not only seeing Jews come to know Jesus, but also the Greeks. And one thing that was interesting about this church is there was not one strong leader. A lot of times in these churches, there would be one person that they would know that that's the church that so-and-so is the leader of. And the church in Jerusalem had a certain sense of a calm and acceptance of that. But not with the church in Antioch. It was a church full of excited members who were filled with the Holy Spirit and seeing others come to know Jesus Christ. So this caused some concern for the church of Jerusalem. So they sent a trusted person to go and spend time with them. They sent Barnabas, who had been with Paul and was a great companion. You might know that Barnabas' nickname really means son of encouragement. So the first thing he does when he gets to the church in Antioch is it encourages them for what they are doing, encourages them for the way that they are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, the way that they're living in community and loving each other the way that Jesus did. They didn't take a membership class. They loved the people. They loved their community. Now, as I started thinking about our membership, and one of the things that some of the faith statements said last night was that the students wanted to become members of Noroten so they could grow more in their faith. And I got to thinking, you know, everyone can come to worship, members or non-members. Anyone can come to Bible study, members or non-members. You can join the choir, member or non-member. Come to any of the youth activities, member or non-member. But what is it really for? And yes, it's important of having our elders and deacons and a part of understanding who we are to be a member of this church, to have that identity, that proclamation that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Now, some people, when they look at the hypocrites, they have problems with us because we're hypocrites. I'm one of them too. We all do things that don't always exemplify that we're followers of Jesus Christ. What marks us as a church is that we're people who are sick, and our sickness is sin, and our doctor is Jesus Christ, and we come together to recognize and accept that. Paul had the same problem. One of the great authors of our New Testament and a person who is truly transformed by Jesus Christ, when he says, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Every day we have that problem. Some people look at the church and say, I had a bad experience there, so I'm hesitant to go back. I had a bad experience at McDonald's once. I managed to go back. There are times that we have bad experiences with relationships, with all sorts of things, that I hope we don't make the mistake of marking that as what that whole group represents. We all make mistakes at times, but we need forgiveness with each other. When Jesus was here on earth, the church began. People coming together to learn, to teach, to share the good news of Christ. And when he left, what did he leave behind? He left the body of Christ, saying, you are the ones to go and proclaim my good news. Come on in. You are the body of Christ. Go and proclaim my good news. Now, how is it that they drew people together? What were some of the resources they used? They used word of mouth. They used telling stories about what Jesus had done. And most of all, they use the love of God. And I'll bet if I were to take a survey from each and every one of you of what is it that first drew you to wanting to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I bet there might be one or two that saw something on television or heard something on the radio or maybe read a book. But I bet for the majority of us, it was the way that a person loved us, a way that a person exhibited the love of Jesus Christ in a way that was unmistakably different than anything else they'd ever experienced, or a part of this body of other believers, other people who love Jesus Christ. We're a group that cares for people. When you're in the hospital, we want to know about it, to go and visit you, to go and know how things are going. When you're going through difficult times, we want to know about it because we want to help pray for you and to support you during the times of joy, during the times of difficulty. Not only are we a group that loves God together, we're a group that can change the world. The majority of philanthropic, I'm going to get it right by the next service, institutions were started by Christians. Hospitals, organizations that feed people around the world were begun by Christians who wanted to change the world for Jesus Christ. And it oftentimes started with one person. A little over a year ago, one person in this church came to some of us, some people on the mission team and youth, and said, "Hey, my church in Minnesota did this great thing of Feed My Starving Children. I think we can do it here too." One person, Stella Clark, had the idea, showed her the video of what was going on. An amazing thing happened. Now, I think Stella is an amazing person, but no matter how hard she worked, I think in a weekend, she probably couldn't pack on her own over 200,000 meals by herself, even if she got her family involved. But with the body of Christ coming together, over 1,000 volunteers packing over 200,000 meals to feed children around the world, to also share with them the good news of Jesus Christ, we're able to do great things. As we come together, the body of Christ, we're able to change the world. We're able to make an impact on hunger, on poverty, on health, other issues that face us today. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, there's something I'd like to do, and I can't do it on my own. And talk to the church. Talk to other believers and say, "Hey, this is something I think God's leading me to do." And you'll see the way that God can truly work through just one person having that desire, that vision, to see where it leads them. So we're a place where we love God. We're a place that can change the world. But sometimes we look around, we see that there are some questionable characters that are part of the membership. I had one student say to me at a youth event, "There's a bunch of jerks from my school here." And I said, "Fantastic, I'm glad they're here." Because it's true that we have some people that at times are jerks, and at times I'm a jerk. At times we all do things that don't exemplify who we are as Christ. But one of the things I get tired of hearing about are parents and students and others who are gossiping behind each other's back with a "did you know this about that person?" And we are said that we're the body of Christ who loves one another. It doesn't mean necessarily we like each other, but we've got to love and support each other. One of the most powerful stories I've heard and continue to remember this day, I heard it when I was a senior in high school, when my home church was going through some division, some serious division. Peter Barnes, one of the associate pastors at the time, now pastor in Austin, shared a story about when he was a kid. He had two other brothers, and one of his brothers fought all the time. He says it wasn't the typical sibling rivalry. They truly pretty much hated each other as brothers, where they couldn't stand to be in the same room together. And one day after school, Peter was heading out, and he looked, and there was a group of students that were gathered in a circle, and there was a fight going on, and it was between his brother and another kid. And all these kids are gathered around watching his brother just get beat up by this other kid. And he looks around and sees all these people yelling, encouraging him to keep on going, keep on beating up his brother. And he realized at that moment that he had to do something. So he walked into that circle, separated the two of them, and said, "Let's go home." Two of them got on their bikes, didn't say a word. When they pull into the driveway, his brother looks at him and says, "Thanks for sticking up for me, Pete." That's the only words that were ever said about that day. And Peter Barnes says, if you're not going to stand up for your brother, who are you going to stand up for? We as the church are brothers and sisters in Christ. If we're not going to stand up for each other, who are you going to stand up for? Sounds like a tall order, something that is difficult for me to ask for us to do. And we can't do it alone. We've got to start, if we're going to love our brothers and sisters, we first have to truly love Jesus. If we focus on Jesus, not the person and changing that person, but focus on Jesus, he will give us the power to love and encourage and stand up for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Tony Campolo says, when people really love Jesus, they will love each other no matter who that person is. Are we a church that really loves Jesus? And if we are, it will show in the way that we treat one another. Yeah, sometimes we've got to admit our falls. We've got to admit our shortcomings with each other. We say we're about the love of God, and sometimes our actions don't show that, but we have forgiveness. We're a part of a church that wants to change the world, and a part of a church that really loves Jesus. So when we look at the church, faults, challenges, difficulties that we all see and know about, membership that sometimes we wonder if it's really necessary, I say it is, because it's the church that God has given to us. But do you believe in the church? I believe in the church, mainly because Jesus believes in the church, and he gave himself for the church. That's enough reason for me to believe in the church. We come this morning to the communion, the time to celebrate the life, death, resurrection, the promise of the return of Jesus Christ, not just with believers here in Darien, but around the world, people whose skin color, whose language is very different from ours, but we're united in the table, we're united in the celebration of God coming to earth to save this world. What a great thing we proclaim together. Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, help us to love you more. We know that we can't love others the way that you want us to. If that's our focus, we need to be focused on you. So give us hearts that love you more, that you would strengthen that every day of our life. We thank you, Lord, for the way that we're able to change the world through the power of your church, the power of your people that you guide and direct. We thank you for the love that draws us together, that we would continue to proclaim that and to share that, that others would come to know you more and more. We thank you for communion, for the church around the world, that we can celebrate your life, death, and resurrection, and the promise of your return. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.